another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for November 27th, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian, you are boogieing down. What's that about? That's pretty awesome.
I am Boogie Down Productions. Always gets paid.
Yeah, always.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, you're not old like me.
Some sort of rap thing from the 90s or 80s?
Yeah, Boogie Down Productions. You remember those guys?
Nope. Tell me more.
Oh, come on.
Tell me more. I want to know more. Who are they? What's the deal?
Well, you don't. Okay, so for those who don't know, I used to listen to a lot of rap.
Yeah.
And so I am all down with the Boogie Down.
So not good rap then. You listened to a lot of rap, but it wasn't all good.
No, it was all great. It's KRS-One and D-Nice. And Scott LaRock, bless him, he's dead. He was murdered.
Oh, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Scott LaRock. This is 1987, so I'm sure you're not getting any new news here.
What was the other guy with a 9 in his name? What was it?
D-Nice.
Okay.
Not to be confused with D. Dennis.
These are great. D-Nice. This is good. No, I love a good creative rapper.
KRS-One was always considered a lyrical miracle. He was quite the artisan with the words.
Yeah.
But Criminal Minded was one of my favorite songs by those guys back in the day.
And were they a nationally known, like, big time thing, or am I? I don't know why I didn't know them.
It's hard to say. I think KRS-One definitely is well known throughout the industry. However, I can't really say to what degree, because I was a little heavily steeped in that, and I knew a lot of more local artist as well. So
interesting.
I may get that confused.
Well, I'm a big fan of that stuff. It's
and I followed the New York scene a little bit too. Yeah. Do you remember Stetsasonic? Remember those guys?
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. And all that stuff.
Yeah, and you had the East Coast West Coast rivalry there, just starting there in the 80s, and you had your who's the guy with the big metal nose? What was his name?
The big metal nose.
Yeah, the big gold nose. What was his deal?
Oh, the gold nose. Okay, so you're talking about the Humpty.
Yeah, the Humpty
the
Dump.
The Humpty Hump.
Yeah, that man, that guy, he's something else.
Right.
And then you got, what was, who? Where were the nasty ones? The ones that my parents were, signed a petition to have stricken from the record store.
Oh, so that would be out of Florida.
Yeah.
Florida is usually where the nasty stuff comes from.
What was the
nasty rap?
Two Live Crew.
Two Live Crew.
Yeah. They were the scourge of my household, man.
Oh, my goodness. That was oh, my gosh. Talking about sexual acts to the fullest degree.
Yeah.
Why is there not a video game based on hip-hop from the 80s?
There probably is. Isn't there? There was like a fighting wrestling thing a few years ago where rappers would square off and fight. It was like a Dirty Jam Records something. Hold on. Rap fighting video game.
No, there's a lot of rap battles. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, here it is. I found it. It is like it's Def Jam Fight for New York.
Oh, what is that?
I remember this. This was a hip-hop influenced 3D action video game published by Electronic Arts. Let's see. It was released on September 21st, 2004 for the PlayStation 2, Xbox, and GameCube. It was a sequel to Def Jam Vendetta. And is followed by Def Jam Icon. The game features several rappers, including Lil Kim, Snoop Dogg, Method Man, Redman, Fat Joe, Mob Deep.
What about Jay-Z? Do I get to play as Jay-Z?
Let's see here. Ice-T.
Some Ludacris, maybe?
Oh, Ludacris is in there. Yep. Exhibit's in there.
Yeah.
Busta Rhymes, Flavor Flav, and Sean Paul. And looks like that's it. They did have a couple other people in there. Henry Rollins, Christopher Judge.
Henry Rollins.
Yeah, he was like DLC.
I think he took a left there at Def Jam. What happened there?
It's pretty weird. Also, who else was in that? For some reason, I guess they kind of rapped. Prodigy was in there. They weren't.
Yeah, they kind of had like a vibe. of rap. I mean, it wasn't really rap. It was more like,
change my pitch up.
Look at my hair. It's on fire. You know, it's just, I'm a fire starter.
I'll be your fire starter. Yeah, I guess they were saying things more than singing or rapping them, but.
Right. They were just interesting. Oh, but speaking of all that kind of music and stuff, I'm looking forward to playing a little electronic board game by Hasbro called Drop Mix. Have you seen this?
No, what's this about? Drop Mix.
Okay.
Oh, Drop Mix. No, I have heard of this, but I have not played it. Tell me about it.
I got to play with this for a couple of minutes. It was on sale this past Black Friday, dropped from $99 down to $60, and I picked it up and I got to play with it just for a little bit. If the kids are listening to this, you're not getting this for Christmas, maybe.
The Harmonix thing, right? Didn't they make it?
Yeah, it's like a Harmonix thing, exactly. Those guys who did the
Guitar Hero, or not Guitar Hero, Garage Band, Rock Band.
Rock Band, that's it. Yes, so Harmonix and Hasbro got together, and they created this thing called Drop Mix, and you play, you have like a board, and you hook your little iPad or tablet device up, Android, whatever, and you hook it up through Bluetooth, and it gives you this little, it gives you things to do, gives you prompts to drop down different beats onto a board, and you can drop down your percussions on one, and your vocals on another, and you just kind of mix these different new songs, and it's kind of cool.
I've heard good things about it. So I didn't know Hasbro was basically publishing this, but it's basically a card game mixed with a phone deal.
Right, and yeah, like Houdini7 says in the chat room, loot boxes for more songs, which is true because you have little cards you can buy additionally. So if you don't like the default mix, you can go out there and pick you up some Taylor Swift vocals, I suppose.
Yeah, but look at this though. See, people talking about loot boxes and the loot box controversy and stuff with EA and everything that's been going on lately. Board games have been doing this stuff for decades, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is nothing new for them. So, you know, if you're playing Magic the Gathering in 1993 in some cave of a freaking comic book store, you were opening packs of cards blindly without knowing what the hell was in there, hoping for the best. Like, that's just the way it was. So, I guess part of me is like, oh, video games, what are you doing with these blind boxes? I don't understand. And then part of me is like, dude, there's a long tradition of blind box purchase, blind package, blind pack purchasing going on in gaming for decades. They just didn't include video games so much. And the big difference here is nobody's saying, here, buy Magic the Gathering for $59.99 and then go buy these extra packs. Like, I know there are differences. I understand all that. But I think it's a good thing to note that board gamers, tabletoppers, have been doing this for a long time.
Absolutely. By the way, GameStop probably has the best deal going on for Drop Mix right now, with $30 off, and you get two free discovery packs and a Transformer card, which is kind of cool. You can play a Transformer card over top of some others, and it goes, weep, wop, rope. No, it actually transforms the beat into something a little bit different. I picked mine up. Can I thank Amazon? Because I picked mine up early last week when it was like $69. I ended up paying like $80 after.
So what's this one that's $49.97? Has that got nothing?
Where is that at?
Amazon. I'm seeing it right here.
It really? Drop Mix, that's an amazing deal.
It says Drop Mix Gaming System, or Drop Mix Musical Gaming System, $49.99, usually list price $99.
Holy Moses, I got to call Amazon again, because I just complained last Friday because I said, oh, I didn't make it in time, because it did have a delay.
Okay, I'm gonna get. If you're saying this is good, I'm gonna get this.
Oh my god, I might have to get a pick. I might have to get a separate, a second one, because they. I complained to Amazon because I paid like $69 for the deal, and then it went on sale to $60, and it arrived late, like a day late, and so I was like, hey man, you know, it was late and you dropped it in price, and they gave me the price difference and $5 extra, so I ordered another. Pack. Yeah, so
they'll hook you up, man. They'll hook you up. Yeah. I'm doing it. But here it is. Placing the order now. $53.39 after taxes.
Because geez, you can't beat that. That is super cheap.
Because Amazon's got their damn shipping distribution center right here in Salt Lake City. I have to pay tax. Jackasses. Why don't you bring it to my house today? That's what I want.
You know, I did the same thing. Amazon dropped ship down here in South Carolina a couple years ago, and they do the same thing, which was fine, because you know what? Even before then, you were supposed to be paying fair use tax, and you probably weren't.
Yep. There you go.
It's not fair use. What is it? Not fair use is not right at all.
No, the word isn't fair use. It's
tax exemplary. No, you were supposed to pay. If you order something online, you're supposed to pay the tax, and it's up to you to be responsible. And Amazon got in all kind of trouble at one point in time, and they were like trying to force Amazon to collect.
Yeah.
But now they're in my state, it's kind of moot.
Well, yeah. If they have a location, you have to pay tax. It's like Apple stores won't charge you taxes if there's no Apple store or distribution center in your state. Then they don't have to charge you taxes. Like when I buy, if you buy in-game stuff in the Blizzard store in where I live in Salt Lake City or in South Carolina, you will not pay taxes on any of it because they don't have any representation in your state. However, if you live in Irvine or in California and you purchase stuff on the Blizzard store, I believe you pay, I'm not sure it's the same there, but I think you pay taxes there. It's by state. It's a by state thing. So who knows? Whatever. They want it all. They just want all my money. Come get it all, government. Here's my money. Have some money.
Come get it. Dang, I'm tempted to order a second one of these because $50.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Oh, Anticoli in the chat room says Amazon started charging taxes in all states as of July 17th, which is coincidentally my birthday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, happy birthday, Scott. You've been taxed.
Yeah, there you go. Griggs Jen in the chat says, has there been any talk of Xenoblade Chronicles 2 yet? That game I'm very excited for. No, we haven't said a damn thing about it. But I should say that I'm excited about Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Or as I say in the hood, I say Xenocron 2. So looking forward to that.
You don't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Sidian's chewing me out for... I'm just teasing, City. I'm just saying I'm being taxed to death. There's a lot of taxes. That's all. Anyway, right. Drop Mix. Get it. Catch it.
Oh, wait. What do sales taxes pay for? No, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know either. Don't tell me about that.
They're right, though. They're not wrong.
They're lining the pockets of big...
big road.
Big road. Big road big, taking
big,
all my
big
money.
Big public school.
All right. Yeah, big public school getting all our tax money.
Jackasses!
Let's get into the deal here. So, all right. We're coming off a week of very...
heavy turkey consumption.
Oh my God. I had three Thanksgiving. So I'm fat and disgusting.
Were any of them fried?
No fried. Although I've had that before and it's amazing. Oh my gosh. It's so good. It's the best way to eat a turkey, seriously. But we had really good food across the board all three times. But the big problem with this week was that Steam ran a fall sale. And as is often the case, it digs into my wallet. Now, this time, setting it apart a little bit, it did some games that I've kind of had on the wish list for a while that I had never pulled the trigger on. And most years around the fall, the things I've already got, I've got, and I'm not really that worried about anything else. But as it turns out, there's been a kind of a small backlog building of games that I would normally jump all over. But because there have been so many good games to play or I was otherwise distracted, I didn't pick them up. Like Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
I like Dishonored 1 quite a bit. And I remember everybody raving about 2, saying, oh my gosh, what a sequel, best game design I've seen in years, blah, 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 blah. People were flipping out about Dishonored 2. And I thought, well, all right, let's see how that's going. I went in there and it was on sale. It was normally $49 or whatever. And it was like $7.50 or some dumb number.
Yeah.
Like stupid cheap. And I thought, well, duh, I think I'll grab that. And so I did. And it is awesome. I got it on the PC for Steam, obviously a Steam sale. And you get to choose between you, or the guy from the first game, betwixt Corvo from the first game, the main guy from the first game, or his daughter. And this is like 30 years later or something. So you can be his daughter. So you can be geriatric Corvo, or you can be young, youthful daughter. Her name is... Atano? Oh, no, Emily is her name. Sorry. Atano's her last name.
What is Atano? You're going all kinds of steampunk. And then, no, I'm sorry. It was Emily.
Yeah, it was Emily Atano. Her last name was Atano. Anyway, she's like the new heir apparent to the kingdom. And if you didn't play the first game, then I'm not going to get into explaining the whole story to everybody. But it's really cool. And it looks and plays great. And I'm running this thing at 4K maxed out, and it's gorgeous. I realize I'm slightly late to the party here. This game came out.
This is something I was interested in talking about. This is a time of the year where you start picking up the backlog. So I think it's okay for us to talk about these older games.
Yeah, sure, why not? And this thing's only a year old. It's not even that old.
Everybody's picking them up, though. There's a renewed interest in games.
Sure. And in
last year.
And in the last, I don't know when it was, 6 months or less, they put out another standalone expansion to this thing, which I haven't played yet, obviously. But I think I'm definitely gonna, because it's really neat. It seems pretty badass. And I'm going to keep playing it. It's real good. For those who are like, well, Scott, what's going on with Dishonored? I feel like I'm repeating stuff we've all known for years, but the Dishonored series is Bethesda's entry into the sort of stealth action genre, and you can approach situations very stealthy or all guns blazing. It's set in this very steampunk, weird past future, 1800s, but there's electricity and steam-powered things and a weird combination of old and new, and magic, of course. And it's kind of unique. Yeah. Like, not
can't
too many
forget the magic.
Yeah, there are not too many other games I feel like this doesn't feel like it's ripping some other genre off. It feels pretty fresh, and I like that. And I think the art style is really cool. They, instead of going for ultra realism and faces and body types and stuff, they've gone just slightly stylized, which has the effect of, I think, looking cooler than, I don't know, other games Bethesda publishes and develops. Like, I would prefer this art style in Fallout or in Skyrim, right, or something else. I think it's super cool. Anyway, it's really good.
A lover of animation, I think that motion is more important to making me believe something is real than, you know, the reality of the texture or the shape. A convincing movement goes more towards pulling me into something than a really well pitted face.
Yeah, like a rendered face. I will agree with you, and I will up that and say it's two things. It's how they move, but also the thing that's actually moving needs to be just a little bit stylized. So as an example, perfect animation in a game like let's say Fallout is fine, except it comes off kind of stiff and weird, or kind of uncanny valley, because you have these like mannequin perfect looking dudes and they just look stiffer than they're meant to. If you just give me a little more eyebrow, a little more jaw, a little bit longer arm, a little meatier hand, like, and
give
then
me a meatier hand
and then move and then move those in a really awesome dynamic way, then you have something that really gets to the heart of what, you know, it doesn't take me out of it. It makes me feel like I'm in it. It's a world I can invest in. And people have long said, like, you know, the reason World of Warcraft has lasted out so long compared to its competition is because they made this decision very early on to not aim for realism. They were aiming for stylized artistic vision. And they did that, and that, as a result, that engine, though tweaked quite a bit over the last few years, or many years, 10 years, still looks amazing today, despite the fact that it's relatively low poly count, relatively, you know, low end PCs can play it, that kind of stuff. But they went so far into the stylized side that it absolutely works. That, like, aesthetic totally works for people, and you get sucked into it. Whereas if they would have gone the EverQuest 2 route, which is make everybody look like a mannequin, we would all hate it. Like, we would have been three engines. We would have been a whole new engine from now. Like, if you go back and look, back in the day when we first saw screenshots of EverQuest 2, everybody was like, oh my gosh, can you believe that? This is video games times 1,000, right? Now look at them. They look terrible, dude. Terrible. But if you
look
at...
Plus, that's how we used to talk.
But you look at, like, you know, the incredible artistic styling of the Warcraft universe, and you're like, oh, okay, that's the right decision. That's what Dishonored 2 has. It has that.
Right.
And it feels good. It feels real good. I like it a lot.
You had mentioned that they released a DLC. I think this is a standalone. It's called Dishonored Death of the Outsider.
That's the, standalone that you can get for like
30. It just came out like September. Do you have that one?
No. I'll end up getting it after this, because this all leads to it. You don't have to have this to play it, but it's obviously connected and stuff. And it's a different character that you play in that thing, but it's supposed to also be super awesome. So yeah, I'll plan on getting that. Like, I don't know why it took me so long. This is normally like a day one kind of game for me. I love right. stealth action. It's my one of my favorite genres. I love, you know, Deus Ex and the old Splinter Cell games and freaking, what's the other one I played a lot of that I love the stealth in it. Now I can't think of it. Anyway.
I saw you playing some Deus Ex.
Yeah, the Human Revolution I also got on sale as well. Yeah. Another thing I wish that I would normally get day one, but things were just so crazy with games, I didn't. So, yeah, it's feels all new to me. And here's the best part about when you wait a year. A year ago, I had a different video card.
Right, right.
And I'm sure it would have run fine, but I'm not sure I could be doing 60 frames 4K like I am today.
Yeah, you got a 1080.
So, yeah, I have a 1080, and that's changed. That made a huge difference. And also, you know, these games get patched and tweaked and are in their best possible sort of shape all this time later. It's also a good reminder to play those games now while you can, because I don't think that the Dishonoreds and the Deus Exes of the world, I think their days might be limited. Numbered. And by that, numbered, that's the word I'm looking for. And the reason I think that is these are not games that translate very well to games as a service. And the whole industry seems to be pushing away from standalone, yeah. succinct experiences and moving to, we want our games to last forever with an online component, or at the very least, some sort of way for people to spend money on, again, loot boxes and blind boxes right. Well into the future. And these games don't really lend themselves to that. So I worry about them as a, you know, and I have good reason to worry. Both in both of these cases, the developers of each game have all announced a delay or have said no word on whether we're doing a sequel or not. Well, normally they'd say, yeah, we're working on this and it's coming soon or whatever.
Right.
They're not, because they're being shifted around in projects that are more games as services oriented. And that really, really stresses me out, because I love these kinds of experiences and I realize they're incredibly expensive to make and take a huge team, and it's a giant risk. And if it doesn't sell great, then you're screwed. And if other games, I don't know, I'm just as an example, League of Legends is taking all the steam out of your game, or you know potential players or whatever, then these, I understand that it starts to become financially intolerable, right?
Right, right.
But it would really bum me out if we had a future where we didn't have this kind of cool, you know, genre stretching stuff in this form. So I don't know what that means. Maybe what usually happens is gaming finds a way. Like I used to worry about like independent things back when indies were getting crumbled by AAA, and now indies have got a way to come back, and indies have never been bigger. So I right. was completely unfounded. In fact, what I didn't know is that a freaking golden age of indies was on its way, and we're living in it now.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
and my favorite yeah. is the indie games. I am totally into the
Me
indies.
Too, dude. Me too. I love it. So the idea that today's AAA story-driven games could one day be the thing that small two-man teams are making and taking to game conferences and showing off that way and getting direct publishing deals through, you know, distribution channels that don't have to be EA or giant companies, that's probably where that'll all go. It's just right now kind of hard to see that, just like it was hard to see where indies were gonna happen after the, you know, during the 90s.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm...
Look, I'm looking at Steam right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And Arkane Studios has three fairly recent games, from Dishonored 2
yeah.
To their Death of the Outsider and Prey. And they're all right around $20. So if I only have one $20, what do I get?
For me, it would be Dishonored because of the gameplay. I think the other one's Prey's fine, but Prey's more of a shooter. I mean, there's right. some puzzly stuff and all that, and that's fine. And all, but I'm not as into that. For me, I like that. I want to sneak around and think about ways to take dudes down. That's my big thing in life. Mm. I want to go, I could snipe him. I could sneak around the back and choke him out. I could jam a knife up his throat. I could throw fire an arrow across the thing and snipe him in the dark. I could, you know, like, right. I love that. That's my...
You know, that's a really good argument. However, Grigson in the chat room says, Prey is a super great game, so...
Well, there you go. Get Prey then. No, Prey is good. Everyone liked Prey. Nothing wrong with Prey. It's just not as interesting to me as something right. like Dishonored. For me, it's a genre thing. So I'm always going to err on the side of, you know, ways of playing games that I prefer. But, you know, it's why I picked up the new Deus Ex game. It's why I loved the Hitman thing last year. Freaking love that.
Right. Wait. Prey has a demo instead of Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
What I'm doing this week?
Yeah. What are you waiting for, dude? They're demos. You'd love demos. Get in there and demo those games, Brian. Anyway, so that's those. I really like it. I also got on a freaking turn-based strategy tear that I didn't expect, and I don't know where this came from, but once in a while I get a little egg in my cheese about, I want to play a turn-based strategy, and usually that involves, like, let's fire up Civilization 5 or now 6 and play that till I can't stand myself, and then, but this time I went a little weirder, so... on the iPad, I forgot I owned this because I got it on sale or someone gave me a code or I don't remember what. Maybe it was the dev, but it's a game called Pre-Dynastic Egypt, which sounds boring. Sounds like class, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, and I'm looking at the art style, too, and I'm kind of like going, what is this,
It's
man?
Super cool. So it's basically, all right, the music is perfect. It's all very Egyptian.
Mm-hmm. So it's mostly the Bengals?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The one Egyptian band that you and I had when we were growing up was the Bengals. You make it. It's basically Civilization, but it's almost like a board game. Like it has like these virtual cards in it, and a worker is a card, and you put that worker in an area, and he scouts it out, and then if it's got food or production or resources on it, you can now go farm those with a worker, and then the better you do, the more workers you can have, and then you have workers in more and more places, and you start to discover more and more of Egypt. Eventually, the entire run of the Nile area is discovered and under your control, and random things happen, like, oh no, there was a huge drought, and because of the drought, that means -5 to all food production, and so you've got to adjust to that. One of the things was the army of Seth is just this rebel group who worships Seth, the Egyptian god Seth, were all pissed and taking everybody out. So they kept killing my dude, so I had to lose cards and have to figure out ways to get new cards back. And then some of my homes were destroyed. It really is like a single Civilization version of Civilization in a lot of ways. But it's engrossing.
It's like 1 degree away from a board game.
Yeah.
And I like the way it looks.
Yeah, it's super cool. And all those cards, by the way, if you watch it in motion, they're all animated. They're all like...
That's what I was going to wonder.
Guys like pounding on nails. Other guys like cutting wheat down. Other guys doing scouting looking. It's really great.
When you click on a card and you get a guy with a saw and he's going...
Totally.
Like that little saw thing.
In fact, he's not even... He never stops. He's always doing it. And sometimes he'll pause and wipe his forehead, but they're all animated constantly, like little windows into the lives of these dudes. It's called Pre-Dynastic Egypt, and it's on iOS, Android. I think it's on Android. I don't know that, actually. I didn't make sure.
Now, that is interesting.
Yeah, and PC, I should say. So it's on Steam, if you want it on there. And these guys have made a handful of other stuff in the past, but this is sort of their latest thing, and it's super impressive for what it is. Very small, group, may even been one dude and an artist or something. Mm-hmm. But the atmosphere and the sound and stuff, super good. And if you're into kind of a chill out turn-based strategy deal, that game's pretty great that way. So there's that. Oh, good. We got some, look at this guy in the chat room. This is my favorite game to play. It's called How Quick Can I Ban This Person? Hold on.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Come on in.
Yeah, come on in. Enjoy yourself. Hold on. We're going to, hold on. Gosh dang it. I forgot how to do it. How do you kill somebody in here? Not kill them. You know what I mean?
Just kill them.
Oh, somebody already got them. That's why I have mods. What am I doing? Thank you, mods.
Get back in here. Wait.
Thank you.
I can't believe it's here we are in 2017 and we still got dicks that have nothing better to do than hop on a
Dude, 2017 is proof we've never had more dicks. It's all the dicks. It's all the dicks. Every dick there is.
By the way, $5.99 for the Android. I might as well get it on Steam.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's only $5 on
$4.99.
Oh, I thought you said $5.99. Sorry. I was trying to figure out why it was a dollar more on Android. But if you've got a device that can run it, very recommendable. And I think it's perfect for like a little portable tablet-y, phone thing. Right. Very, very much like it. It's, again, you kind of have to like those kinds of games. And I do. If you don't like turn-based games and strategy on how will I grow my population and how is my happiness now and what can I do for the derbiter? Like if you're not into that, this is not going to be a game you'll like. But if you're cool with that stuff and you've ever enjoyed like a session of Civilization, I think you're in Fat City.
All right? Fat City.
P-H-A-T City.
Are you gonna grab their Marble Age as well?
No. I don't know what the, I mean. It's another game, right? I've not checked it. I don't know if it's. But when I looked at screenshots, I went, "Oh, this is before they got a good artist." That was right. that was the feeling I had. So it's probably okay. It's probably good. But I think part of what drew me and draws me to pre-dynastic Egypt is it looks and sounds wonderful. It's a very, very cool, polished game. It's not just simply a game. It's pretty good. Drizzle, the name of that game one more time, is Pre-Dynastic Egypt. That's Pre-Dynastic Egypt. Imagine Dynastic Egypt, but before. Pre-Dynastic Egypt. Stellaris is another one, and I whipped that out and played that some. And I also played, something Space 2. Not Far Space. Endless Space 2 there. Endless Space 2, same thing. And other games like that. I couldn't stop. I went on a 4-day romp, and it was all like,
that's what it sounds like.
What can I get on my phone? What can I get on my tablet?
Is Kim out of town again or something?
No, she was here. It was just all like late at night, like some kind of weirdo. I'm weird. And then,
strategy games are great at night. Strategy games are the best.
Yeah, except your brain gets on fire and then you can't sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're laying there just going, oh my gosh, somebody kill me. I can't stop thinking. But then, and then here's the other thing. Did I talk about this last week, how I installed and played? I think I did. The Lineage 2 Korean MMO thing on my phone.
I don't remember that.
Oh, but my you may gosh. Have. That thing, it's called Lineage 2 Revolution. It's this new mobile game from the people who've been making Lineage games forever, these MMOs in Korea that are just beyond popular. Like, take World of Warcraft and times it by a billion, and that's what those people are playing. They freaking love that thing, and they've loved it for years and years and years. So I installed that thing, whatever that thing is, this Korean MMO, which mostly runs itself. Dudes just run around and do stuff, okay? You don't hardly have to control it, but you do in some cases. Anyway, I don't know what's going on in there, but now I paid 500,000 gold for a clan hall. I got a Frog Pants clan on this server. Yep, I got people in there questing with me and doing raids together, and there's big like multiplayer 40-man like things you can do. There's questing, there's all this other stuff, a million things to do in it, and it is so weirdly compelling. It has no right to be this compelling. It's kind of strange, but I'm kind of having a blast with it, and I'm level 31, 32, and
wow, that's pretty fierce.
It's really good. It's dumb, though. It's not good. I don't know what to say about it. It's hard to explain.
Well, I just installed it on my Android. It'll be there in a minute.
There you go. All right. You've been playing Don't Starve? Oh, no, you were going to play Don't Starve between now and or last time we spoke.
Yeah, because I said I just peeked my head in a little bit last time, but then I really played it this past week, but I didn't play it like I thought I was. I thought I was going to get on the PC.
Yeah.
And, you know, load up, you know, all the rest of the stuff, all the DLCs that I got when I bought them on sale about 3 weeks ago. But they threw a wrench in my plan by giving me the pocket edition for 99 cents this past week. So I was like, well, why not? You know, why not have it? Because I'm going to be traveling a lot anyway. There's going to be a lot of family time, and I don't want to be sitting there looking at people. Yeah. So, yeah, right. Who wants that? So, yeah, I picked up the pocket edition. I'm playing the crap out of it. I've made it further in the pocket edition, not because it's simpler or easier, because it's not, because my eyes are not that good. And I'm trying to focus in on my little 7-inch screen. But I've really, really clicked. I think I've made it to like level, I've made it at least 15 days on this, which is way further than I made it before. And it's starting to get interesting. At first, I thought the way Scott described it, I was going to run out of steam pretty quick.
Yeah.
But every time you get to another day, you keep encountering these weirder and more different creatures. And it just, every time I think I'm done, I pick it back up.
Yeah.
And I have to try not to starve, which is really hard when you're eating, you know, you got a turkey leg in one hand and you're trying to play Don't Starve in the others.
Oh my gosh, I can picture it now. You're like some greasy kid at like a county fair with a big chicken or turkey leg in your hand. Yeah.
And And the thing is, I would play that all day, and then I would get home, and like you with the strategy games, I would be like up at night, like at, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night playing Don't Starve. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I got to quit. And then like in the morning times, I would have a few minutes and I decided to start playing Stardew Valley. And you shouldn't jump from Don't Starve to Stardew Valley.
Nope.
There's just like this disconnect. It's like, oh, I'm collecting things and I got to do it in a hurry. And, you know, and I got to do it on a time frame. And the clock is ticking quickly and it's going to be dark. And then you jump on to Stardew Valley and everything is laid back. And it's like, yeah, go to town and meet 20 people.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out well for me because I was sitting there. I was rushing things in my Stardew Valley and my energy level several times. I would have to go to bed at like 11 a.m. because I would have my guy doing so much stuff. It's like, come over here, do this, cut this down, do that.
Yeah.
And his energy level would just drop. And he's like, you got to go to bed. And I'm like, why is it only like 11 in the morning?
Yeah, that's why I hate those games. You just described why I don't like survival games, but it's just, look, I'm glad that here's a dumb little show, a little podcast out there that people can listen to. And on there, you got a guy who likes them survival games and you got a guy who don't. And that'll always give you a nice, fair image of what to expect in the world of survival.
Right. And really, the only difference between the Stardew Valley and the Don't Starve is really maybe the pacing. Is that what bothers you the most?
Yeah, because in Stardew Valley, I'm not at risk. I'm not at risk of dying every day. Like I can
you're at risk of running out of energy and passing out and having the doctor to bring you home.
Okay, well I'll say this: I do hate that feature in the game. Now there's ways to improve that later in the game. There's ways to have that so your character's not having to deal with that with gear and stuff. But yeah, the early goings, that stuff sucks. And I don't like racing the clock in there. And there's a few things that are downers for me, but Don't Starve is all about literally not starving or going crazy or dying. In my case, it's just, it's raining. I guess I can't really go out and do that one thing I want to do because rain will stop that. So I'll just wander around town and meet a girl. Oh, hey, my name's Bill. What's yours? Oh, great. Talk to you later. And then you go home and you sleep again. And if I want, I'll go to bed at 11, like you said. Get up the next day. Oh, now I can go pull these plants that I have been growing. Like, it's not a perfect experience, but for me, it's like Animal Crossing, where I just don't have to think that much. Just kind of chill.
I played... Oh, you don't have to think? Oh, my gosh. Have you played the Animal Crossing, the new one for the phone? Oh, my gosh. You don't have to think. That's what I was thinking with this game. And I was thinking, I don't have to really think. I can just hop in and out and everything. There is so much freaking stuff going on.
There is, but...
So much going on.
Should we do a little mini review of Pocket Camp? Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
I've only played maybe 15 minutes or so, just in little intervals, like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. So yeah, I can give you a super mini review.
Well, in my case, I've played quite a bit, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a pick up and check your stuff, do your thing and get out kind of game. And so it's not like I have any dedicated time to it, but I guess I probably put a few hours into it or something. If you start thinking about what you're doing, it's crazy. Like I've got these friends in a public camping spot who I've made friends with. Walk up to a dog and go, "Hey, what's up? I'm the only human here." And the dog's like, "Hey, it's good to meet you. Here's a story for you. And go get me a squid." You know, like,
yes.
They want you to do weird shit. First of all, that should be your first worry. Then when you invite them to come hang out at your camp, having them refuse to do it until you have a very specific piece of furniture for them to sit on. This world is a crazy world. Okay. It's an insane world.
I've never really played the Animal Crossings in the past, but the crazy language they use.
Oh, I love
just
it.
Do without it.
Kidding. I love it. It's my favorite.
I like it for about 5 minutes and I was like, oh, that's really cute. And then I was like, oh my gosh, if y'all don't stop with the talking to me right now, I'm going to murder you all.
Yeah, I can understand that. They're all very chatty. And when they do, it's all...
I don't mind reading dialogue, but I get to a point, I don't even want to click on the next dialogue because I know every time I do, they go...
Yeah, that's true. And that's the thing is, like, it's a lot of very repetitive things. Dude wants a squid, two fish, and a clamshell. All right, freaking, I'll be back. And the truth is, I carry a lot of that stuff with me because I've already been grabbing it as I go. Because my way of playing the old Animal Crossing is just pick everything up as I went.
Yeah, yeah.
So almost always I have the thing they're looking for. So I'll just give it to them then. They're like, oh, thanks. And so then it's just like, go through this menu, hit OK, go through this menu, hit OK. Then start to walk away and realize, oh, he also wants this next thing. So give him the next thing. Like, it's very, like, repetitive. And if I'm honest, so are the old games. What I like about the universe of Animal Crossing is that it's just chill, man. I don't have to think that hard. I just walk around and do the thing I want to do. This game's got a little more pressure to it, though, because there's a million things to do at once. And the game's like, hey, do you want to go talk to 15 different animals all separately and give them 20 million things and check out Squid Boy? Yes. No, maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Like, there's a lot of that going on. But I think it's charming.
It is absolutely charming, and it is packed. But it is not the game that I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be like Magikarp. I mean, come on. That was my speed right there. I mean, I know everybody hated that stupid game, but I was just like, oh, yeah.
Nobody liked Magikarp, dude. Everyone hated that game.
Just me.
It was just you were the only one.
I'm like, what I got to do? Tap some stuff a couple of times? Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, honestly, I was playing this pretty heavily, and so all my kids were and stuff, so we were, you know, sharing friends lists and checking out each other's camps and all that. And what really got in the way of that was that Lineage game. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably be playing it a little bit more. But it's fine. Animal Crossing is fine. It's fine. It's just great. A little... And I hope Nintendo succeeds with it on here. I hope we get a proper Animal Crossing game, though. Like a straight up, here's my town, here's my house, here's all my things deal on the Switch at some point. It doesn't seem like that shouldn't happen. It seems like that would still happen. They'll sell really well, so I can't imagine they won't make a game there. But I'm annoyed waiting, because this isn't
I feel like I was amazed at how much they put into it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And I heard, so this is what I heard, somebody who's been playing it since it was available out on outside servers, about a month or something, played it for a month, and they say that if you don't spend a dime on hurrying anything up, so no money spent, you can consume everything the game has for you in 1 month, 30 days, and you'll be a pocket camp completionist, basically.
No, that's not a phone game, Scott.
I know. It's pretty good. It's pretty good if you think about it. And Nintendo makes, you know, they don't mess around. They make good stuff, even in this brave new world of what are we doing on mobile. At least they seem like they're kind of getting it. I don't know. Right. I don't know if they're getting it right or not. But
yeah, I think you're doing good. Also, speaking of Nintendo, I had an opportunity to touch a Switch this past week. My mom didn't ask me to go get it or nothing. Okay. So I got to go play with a little Nintendo Switch, and I got to play just a little bit of Snipper Clips.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I didn't think that I saw the game, and I was like, this looks dumb. And
it's great, dude. That game is great.
It was so much fun trying to figure it. I'm just amazed at how much you can do with just two basket shaped character.
Someone's internet took a poo. Well, that's not good. Hold on. So Snipper Clips is good. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So did you hear the part where I said I can't believe how much they could do with just two basket shaped shapes and you snipping things?
You were about to say that, but now and I agree with you. You can do a lot. It turns out with two chunks of a thing.
two basket-shaped little shapes, and you just kind of walk into each other, and you have to snip each other in the right places and then work together to move objects and complete tasks. I mean, I thought I'd get frustrated, but we had a lot of fun.
Did you play co-op with somebody or just on your own?
Oh, absolutely. I played co-op. Why would you play by yourself? How boring would that be?
Well, you can, but I wouldn't recommend it either, It's not as good. It's a more fulfilling experience if you're together. And it's one of those things where you're just screaming at each other like, oh, my gosh, dude, rotate left, freaking left. Like,
we actually got along really well. Now, we only played for like 20 minutes. So I can't say what happens about an hour in. I'm sure it probably gets nasty.
Yeah, it's I did quite a bit in that game with my kids, and we loved every second of that. We thought it was awesome. But there were some moments, man. You just want to like, all right, did I teach my children anything? Do they know how to do anything?
Nothing. Just turn it. That's the worst. The dad is trying to, you know, get the kids to find the right tool.
Yeah.
I need a crescent wrench.
There
what?
It is. Yeah. What the hell is even that? What is the Phillips flathead? I don't know. One of those. All right.
It's by the ratchet.
I'm supposed to ask you about Play Night. What the hell's that?
Ask me about Play Night. Ask me why I want you to ask me about Play Night. The reason why Play Night is a game library software assistance. Mostly it's for the PC. You can it's in beta still. I don't know if you had Raptor. Did you have Raptor back in the day? Did you have that service?
I remember Raptor, but I never used it.
I used it a pretty good bit to manage my library of games that I had, so I would know what I had, how long I played it, that kind of stuff. Well, recently they went under, and so I had to export my game files and stuff and say goodbye to them. And I was looking for something, an alternative, and there was a something that's in beta and allows you to download it so you can play it locally. You can use it locally, and you can get it as a portable application. And what it does is it connects to all of your major gaming services like Steam, Uplay, Battle.net, Origin, Good Old Games, all that. And it downloads your library list so that you can either launch it from there, figure out what it is, what do you have, and can make those decisions, sorting and filtering and all that good jazz. And the reason why I did it is because there's been so many games on sale lately. I don't know what I have.
Yeah.
I'm clueless.
Well, all right. If you feel like you need that kind of thing in your life, it seems like a Brian thing to do, honestly.
Absolutely does. See, I'm the kind of Brian that would sit in front of my CD collection and organize them.
Yeah.
That was a fun Saturday night for me. So a fun Saturday night for me is now organizing my PC game list. By the way, I have over 172 unredeemed keys from Humble Bundle.
Yeah. Humble Bundle?
Yes. Humble Bundle. I'm like, I may have a problem.
Yeah.
With the Humble Bundle.
I think you might as well. I like Humble them Bundle. A lot. I like going there and I like seeing what deal I could get. And then sometimes it's sad because I have everything they want to give me. They'll be like, here's the raddest indie bundle of all time. And then I'll read the list. I'm like, well, shit, I bought all these over the last 6 years. So I guess I'm not playing any of these games.
Well, I still do it because they usually have charities and stuff they donate to. And I'll pick up if I already have part of the bundle, I'll go ahead and pick it up and, you know, kind of put the keys aside and send them out to people and go, hey, look, here's a gift for you.
You ever hear this guy say this? Hold on. Here he is. He's a French guy.
What was that from? That was a Film Sack movie, wasn't it?
No, it was from a Humble Bundle introductory video.
I forgot about that guy.
He's the best. I love it, dude. And he was dead serious. He wasn't kidding around or nothing. That was the real thing. All right.
It was great.
Lots of games were played. Lots of fun was had. Certainly that'll be true next week. But now it's time for this. Begin the news roundup. We'll start with Nintendo, who says they're investigating Animal Crossing Pocket Camp server errors. You might call it Pocket Cramp. yesterday, a bunch of people were complaining about the sorry state of Animal Crossing servers, and I've run into this a couple of times where I would, like, you know, say, sorry, the server can't be reached right now, try again later, kind of stuff. It's pretty annoying. Sometimes when you're just trying to complete a task, it'll just get a little spinny window forever. Some pretty bad server problems, frequent crashes, communication errors, that kind of stuff. And it's new, you know, a big load. Yeah. It's probably one of the bigger loads right now. Everybody wants to play this thing. So I don't entirely think it's crazy that they are
get having over issues. It.
But anyway.
Brian says get over it.
Here's what they said. They're blaming high traffic and said the issue is still occurring intermittently. Please be aware that we are investigating it and we'll resolve it as soon as possible. Thank you to those who have contacted us or left feedback regarding the issue. Let's-a-go, unquote.
Let's-a-go.
They didn't really say that part at the end. The company has thrown in some in-game currency gifts of 20 leave tickets. These are the premium currency tickets.
That's like 99 cents, isn't it?
I think it's like a buck, yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad if you think about it. It's like they've got millions of users of this thing, so.
Right. Know. Here's your free game, and we're sorry it's been down a few times. Here's a dollar.
Here's $1 million. Because that's basically giving away $1 million in potential revenue. Not that you were going to make that from every single person, but
right.
Still, it's pretty intense. Let's see. The culprit behind the communication errors is pretty obvious. Mobile games based off Nintendo's properties aren't known for their stable servers. Pocket Camp is also a multiplayer focused game with a big audience, so some lag can be expected. But it is unfair to think Nintendo would have gotten this together by now. Unquote. That's an editorial on Polygon. I would just like to point out a couple of major glaring holes in that editorial. And generally speaking, I'm okay with Polygon. Whatever. They say their stuff. They do their thing. It's fine. Whatever. But saying that they're not known for stable servers. Okay, sure. I guess. They're not known for their prowess with internet connectivity. I get that. All right. But also saying Pocket Camp is also a multiplayer-focused game with a big audience. Lag is to be expected. Not in the way you're thinking. It's all asynchronous. There's no, like, me and you hanging out together, ever.
Right.
So it's always me visiting a camp that you have set up because the server pulls some data from a database that tells me what your camp looks like. That's it. And your guy's there, but you're not there with me. You didn't have to get up at 3 a.m. and go, oh, shit, Scott's in my camp again. I better get in there. Like, that's not how the game works. So, I like a good editorial. I'm a fan. Editorials are great. Bring on the editorials, but maybe do your homework first, is all I'm saying. Sorry, you were going to say. You had something to say there you were going to say. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, well, Nintendo has been known to react to pressure.
Well, they're big, you know. They got they got big britches there.
They're like, you don't like it? We're investigating it.
Yeah,
whatever.
Tough toads, they say, because toad. Huh. You know, toad. Hey, the Xbox One X apparently runs Witcher 3 at 60 frames per second in our Xbox news. Yeah, that's pretty good. There's no patch needed or anything. It just ramps up to 60 frames per second, which is interesting. I wonder how it determines that. I don't know. That's just some smart code that says.
Can't you isn't there a couple little buttons you can push to make it tell you that information?
I don't know. On the console, I have no idea.
Mm.
But
you can on the PS3, I think.
Is there? PS3 or 4?
4, excuse me. Did I say 3? Wow.
Jeez, what are you, 10 years in the past? How's the past look? It's probably a lot less caustic online. I'll bet things look better on the internet.
I'm looking forward to my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, looking forward to my GameCube.
My GameCube.
It says here, the Witcher 3 at 60 frames per second, according to Eurogamer, shipped with an unlocked frame rate, allows it to potentially reach up to 60, which is now able to accomplish with very occasional dips. But even on my 1080 and running that game, I get occasional dips at 60, so I don't think that's that crazy. Anyway, so this is for the Xbox One X. However, the increased frame rate comes at the cost of a lower resolution. So if you want to get it at that speed, you have to run it at 900p.
Oh, nope.
If you want to run it at 1080p, nope. You got to go down to 30. I'm getting 60 at 4K, so what are you going to do? I'm not trying to be a PCist here.
Right.
But there are times when you're reminded that, man, PCs rock.
Yeah, we've had this discussion a million times.
Sure.
How do you compare a console that was sells for $400 or $500 to a PC that probably costs double, triple that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair comparison.
Yeah,
absolutely not. According to Xbox Wire, an Xbox One X specific update for The Witcher 3 is on its way, however. So even though you're getting the natural unlock to 60, the patch will boost resolution to 4K at 30 and provide numerous visual tweaks such as higher quality shadows, ambient occlusion. I've never known how to say that word right.
Occlusion. To occlude, right?
Yeah, like your Oculus, like eyes, eyeballs. and texture filtering, as well as higher resolution textures and all-around performance boosts. The post does not say anything about changing the locked frame rate. But anyway, in some somewhat related news, they said they are still not planning on making a Witcher 4, but will probably return to the Witcher in some form in some future date. That's just probably because they're putting all their guts behind their cyberpunk future thing they're making, which sounds really good also. Which the name escapes me. What is it? Cyberpunk 4000. 8,000 cyberpunks.
Yeah, Cyberpunk 4000.
That's pretty good, right? Did you play The Witcher? I don't remember. Did you get into
that? Never played The Witcher. I've been very jealous of those who have played The Witcher, but I just haven't. I spent all my money on Humble Bundles. There, I said it.
The Witcher 3, rather, one of the best games I ever played, straight up, like across the board, an incredible game, and deserving of all of the cred that was thrown its way, all the accolades, all the awards it won. Right. Like, it's a one hell of a game.
Gwent.
To be sure. Gwent. Gwent is pretty good. Have you played the Gwent? Have you given Gwent a spin?
I haven't played the Gwent. I want to play the Gwent as well.
Gwent is Gwent is okay.
Cyberpunk 2077. That's it. 2077?
That's it. Yeah. 2077. It's like, you know, your freaking, what's it, like Blade Runner future stuff. It's pretty good. Very excited about that, but you're going to probably be waiting a while. So get used to it.
Settle down.
Sony news. Sony's going to shut down Demon's Souls online services in February 2018. Do you ever play Demon's Souls?
No.
Oh no, your PlayStation 3 Demon's Souls save. What are you going to do?
No, man.
Oh, it's too bad. According to the post, the Dark Souls team made on Twitter, online servers will terminate February 28th, 2018. After the shutdown, the online cooperation and invasions will no longer be possible or helpful or trolling.
Or helpful.
Yeah, because they were supposed to be helpful. Oftentimes they were trolling.
Right.
Anyway, these blood stains, which now show where other players have died, will be there and not their notes. All that stuff will be gone. It's just gone. Atlas USA has commented on the recent announcement of the impending closure of Demon's Souls servers, and this is what they said. Company who published the game in North America took a moment to thank fans and bid farewell to Demon's Souls online features. If you want to go over to read more, go to Atlas's USA website and read more about it. I never played any of the Souls games. Not one of them.
Really?
Nope.
I played some. I'm not that upset about the online service getting shut down because it's not really something I'm playing right now. But I played it. I've enjoyed it.
Well, yeah. Plus, we can't expect these things to last forever, right?
Nah, you can't. It's a bummer for sure, but dude.
Yeah. At some point, stuff's got to go. Like, you can't play Madden 2012 until the end of time. Someday, it's going to go. My nephew was here with us all week for Thanksgiving, and he played Battlefield 3. Right. Battlefield 3.
Big difference.
Yeah. The PlayStation 4 version of Battlefield 3. BF3, as the kids call it. And there were always full servers, always stuff going on in there. And that's two Battlefields, one BF1, and one new Star Wars game behind in the Battlefront Battlefield series of games. So he's playing as old school as you can get on that platform, and still there are tons of people in there. So I don't know what the numbers have to be for that stuff to go away, but apparently Dark Souls knows.
It knows. It's got the deal.
Or not Dark Souls.
Demon Souls.
Demon Souls, which was the first of the Dark Souls. So there's that. Enjoy that. Have fun. Here's this. For a look at PCs, a couple things going on. Epic Games is suing more Fortnite cheaters. This was in the news the other day. Yeah, big time cheater crackdown in the game of Fortnite, mostly having to do with their free battle royale deal, their PUBG competitor.
Mm-hmm. How do you sue somebody for cheating?
Well, I don't know, but this is what it says. A few sites have learned this in October. Excuse me. Some individuals are using software that allows the player to cheat. Since then, the publisher and developers filed suit against at least 9 individuals, both in the United States and overseas. One of those is apparently a minor. We know this because of a new and unusual document that has been entered into the court record, a sternly worded and legally savvy note from his mom. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Get bent.
Get bent, son. Court records indicate both lawsuits, at least the two that are proceeding through U.S. district courts and could result in fines of $150,000 per incident. Yeah. They are charged with, let's see, Epic's line of reasoning is that under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, both these guys named Broom and Vaspier were in the wrong to create cheats that leveraged Epic's own intellectual property. So they were using tools created with Unreal stuff.
They just weren't like flat out cheaters, like tying rubber bands to their controller or something. They were actually created a subscription service.
Oh yeah, no.
Others.
Yeah, they created not a subscription service so much, but they created tools for others to cheat with. They'll ban those people, but they'll sue the people making the stuff.
Gotcha. So yeah. They're actually causing harm to the game.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Epic claims these other groups created, developed, and or wrote a software cheat for Fortnite's Battle Royale game mode. Both feature similar arguments and similar potential fines in these lawsuits. The same as that are against Broom and Vaspier.
You know, it's kind of odd because I don't know. It just, when you're first learning to program and do things, I don't know these guys' situations, but a lots of times when you're learning to program, sometimes it's just like, well, what can I do? Mm-hmm. You know, and you kind of go full out. And I guess it really comes down to me as a personal opinion, whether or not these kids made any money at it and how much they damaged system and that kind of stuff. I think the $150,000 per incident is kind of crazy, but sometimes they shoot really high just so they can get, you know, a little something.
Oh, yeah. And they want to, you know, scare these guys off. But to me, it's like people to get, what do you call it, swatted on Steam.
Yeah.
Not on Steam, on Twitch.
See, that's dangerous, though.
It's not only dangerous, it's highly illegal. There was a kid in the news, I don't know, month or two ago or something, who got, you know, full length of the law busted.
Somebody
for that.
Could get what shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he got thrown in jail. He's in jail for like 20 years, tried as an adult, like all kinds of stuff. Weird stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be careful, you guys. Don't cheat. Play video games because they're fun. You bunch of jackasses. How about
you
that?
You hosers.
Yeah. Also, Civilization designer John Schaefer, he helped design Civilization 5. He has left Paradox after only 6 months. Now, this was a big deal back in the day when he left to go there in the first place. He's now leaving after only 6 months, citing creative differences. Boy, there must be after only that much time.
Right.
Paradox does all kinds of cool strategy games. In fact, a couple of games I mentioned, specifically Stellaris is one of their games. Schaefer left the AAA development to found his own studio called Conifer Games in 2013.
Yeah, Conifer. Yep.
He led a successful Kickstarter campaign for a strategy title at the time called At the Gates. I don't remember that.
Mm-mm. I actually do remember this one.
It was originally scheduled for 2014 release, but has since been delayed. You think?
Delayed.
That was only 3.5 years ago. In March, Paradox announced that it has brought Schaefer on full-time to start a new project. Earlier this week, they parted ways due to creative differences. His tenure there lasted roughly 6 months. We will do our best to present... Here we go. John is an ambitious person with a lot of drive and passion and has led to some good decisions and discussions in our teams over the past few months, says the executive producer.
Oh, boy, that's talking out of the side of your mouth.
No kidding. Says, however, during the course of these discussions, it has become clear that we want different things creatively and therefore have taken a mutual decision that it is best to part ways. He went to his Kickstarter community on November 20th to share his side of the story, but was unable to provide much detail. Quote, I've parted ways with Paradox. In the end, it really was creative and cultural differences. I can't go into details and will simply leave it at that. I still love Paradox and its games, but things sadly didn't work out. Unquote. Also, they all replied with, great, where's our game we paid for back in 2013?
We're still waiting.
You're freaking, what was it called? Where's At the Gates?
At the Gates, baby. Where's it at? Just one more Kickstarter game that just never quite made it other than.
Have you had many you spent money on and then didn't pan out? Did that ever happen to you?
I only could think of one, but I've had some really good experiences outside of that. And actually, I'm kind of a slacker because I have several that were developed and put in my hands and still haven't played them yet.
Huh.
Well, I'm worst. Armor Krog.
It's a what? What'd you say?
Armacrog.
Armacrog?
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
Armacrog. It was from those guys what did the stop motion.
Oh!
For Pencil Test Studios.
Right, yeah. Remember this now. Yep. And you were all excited about it. I remember that.
Yeah, yep. Super excited about it. Had it in my little bank for at least over a year now. And you can pick it up on Steam on sale right now for only $3.99.
Sounds like a
hell. How much I paid for it.
So it's not good, is what you're saying. It's not good.
No. I don't know. I haven't played it. I told you. I don't know why I haven't done it.
Get in there and play
that. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, play that. The first game I ever kickstarted was called Grim Dawn. Turns out that game's great, and I played the hell out of it, and I'm glad I did, and I bought the expansion and everything. Grim Dawn is awesome. So, yeah.
Ooh, that looks good.
No, Grim Dawn is great. Great Diablo.
I should have backed that, too.
It's fantastic. First game I ever backed. $15. And it was absolutely and worth it and more. It took a while, but I was okay to wait.
No, I'm okay with waiting.
Yeah, me too.
I'm fine with that.
Everyone
this is a beautiful, man. Look at the textures. Oh, look at that.
Ooh,
all this environment stuff is just great.
I like it. It's really good. And all the
that's very Diablo-esque, isn't it?
Yeah. All this texture talk is making me hungry for this. All right, time for emails. We got
Have we ever made it to that before?
Oh, yeah, we've always. Oh, you mean this song? No.
Yeah, that song. I don't think we ever made it to that song.
No, we're getting far in. We're getting deep.
Deep.
Boopshow@gmail.com is where you send your email ad or emails to. Matt did that, and he sent us the following email. Hey, guys, just thought I would... Hey, guys, just thought I would toss some comments out there about the Steam controller, okay?
Yeah.
It has been my only controller for the past year, and overall, I've had a great experience with it for the most part, which is kind of redundant, but I get what he means. The dual pads did take some getting used to, but once it clicked, everything just started falling into place. One important thing to keep in mind, though, was this controller usually requires me to tweak the mappings to find things that work best for me. He has a longer example of this below. I realize not everyone wants to tweak like crazy or test all the community-suggested layouts, but if you have that sort of patience, you can find setups that work amazingly with this controller. Here's one of the examples. Fallout 4. All right. Hold breath. Default to a press of the analog stick, which feels awkward. I remap the aim button to be a new dual set of actions. Half pull of the off the trigger. I think he meant of. Mm-hmm. Half pull of the trigger button activates aim. Full trigger pulls activate hold breath while aiming with a scope. So he's kind of macroed it in a way.
Yeah, and that's what the Steam controller is all about. I'm still learning it myself. And I just picked up Fallout 4. I thought I already had it. Did not. On sale. Grabbed it. And I'm going to try these settings.
I have one. I don't know. I just can't use it.
See, that's the thing. It's just like he just said. It's just like Matt said. It is not a controller that you just pick up, plug in, and go. It is... You have to really put some effort into it, but the reward is really good. The only thing I didn't like about the Steam controller, and I wish they could figure out a way to fix it, is I don't like the D-pad because they've turned the left thumb pad into the D-pad, and it's so large.
Yep.
It's because I like my D-pads to be kind of small and dainty, and they made it huge. Yeah. They made it huge. I would almost rather them take that analog stick off. Throw that away because I've already got two pads which kind of work like analog sticks. It put my D-pad there.
Yeah. That D-pad is a douche pad. I don't like it.
Yes, it's not good.
No. He also says, at the end of this, I love this. He says, just placing my quarter on the screen to call winner, Matt.
Uh-huh. Winner.
Nice reference, Matt. Look, maybe Brian will mess with it and we'll talk more about it on the next show or something. So, Brian, that's your job between now and next episode. Dink around with the... With the Valve controller.
Hey, and if you have a Steam controller and you're listening and you want to get rid of it, let me know. Maybe I got some games I can trade you for it or some stuff.
Because I
need a few of them because I'm gonna experiment.
Yeah, you gotta try it out. I hear it's.
I've got a plan.
I want to know if you can actually play like Dota with it. That would be fun to watch.
I could totally try it.
Yeah, I would watch you play Dota with a Steam controller.
Don't think I won't.
I think you will. Going to do it for the show, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at the Boop Show. You can find more about what we got going on over at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/boop. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. You can find us on Twitter @BoopShow. And please do that. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/frogpants. And Brian can be found at TheBrianDunaway on Twitter, where always something's good coming out of your hole. It's always something good. Yeah. Big fan.
Got to watch my hole.
Keep that hole clean. Keep it facing north. I don't know what else.
I don't want my hole facing north.
I shouldn't do a show after suffering a horrible migraine headache because I'm kind of loopy now. I feel like I'm loopy.
A little bit.
I'm not hurting or anything. I'm just kind of chilling and saying dumb shit. So that's good. I'm not on drugs or nothing. I swear, people. I don't know even what those would be. What do you take? Actually, this stuff should make you hyper, right? It's like Excedrin and things like that.
So even close. Yeah.
NyQuil
is usually the thing people prefer to get drunk on.
Oh, I should try that then, maybe.
It's delicious.
I don't drink, so that's my chance. I'm getting in now. This is how I get into a drinking pattern. I'm going to start drinking that. Don't forget, you can find our Reddit over at boopshow.reddit.com. Lots of people always hanging out and talking in there, and you can support Brian and I by just listening and telling your friends and talk to people and say, hey, you like video game podcasts? Guess what? We got this one we really like, and you should go check it out. Gonna do it for us. I think that's it. Brian, you got anything else? Anything you want to add?
You guys have a good holidays because they're coming up, yep, right?
Real soon. We'll be back next Monday. See you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.